Again, I'm thankful to God for another opportunity to be able to come together on this first day of the week to come and to spend a few moments in time and studying about things that I hope will help us as we journey upon this earth. Pray that you open your Bibles and open your minds to things that we will say. If you find anything that is said that is not in accordance with God's will, I'll be more than happy to sit down with you with an open Bible and come to a better understanding of God's holy and divine will. I first of all this morning would like to thank Brother Tim Hill for standing in for me last Lord's Day morning and speaking while I was out of town. I'm thankful for all your prayers on my behalf. I had a little secret I want to tell you this morning. Last Sunday morning, I had the privilege of sitting in a service like this with my grandson. I tell you tonight, or this morning, that for Sister Long and Sister Terry Lewis and Sister Sunshine Sellers, I know that I have the easiest job up here than out there. I know why God gave children to us when we were young. Because when we're old, we don't have the patience. But I enjoyed my time with Austin. It was good to be with him. I'm glad to be home, and I'm glad for your prayers on my behalf. And things have went very well. Both my daughters were married, had wonderful weddings. I'm thankful for God for that. I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy, and I pray that both of them will have long and happy lives. And I'm glad that that's the end for a while, I hope. But I want you to know that I appreciate your prayers on my behalf. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. If there's a subject, so now the rest of the lessons that we're going to deal with on the subject of the Holy Spirit are ones that brethren and the world have much difficulty in. We're going to get into the more meatier subjects of the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks. Next few weeks, we're going to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 and verse 38. We're going to talk about the indwelling of the Spirit, how the Spirit indwells in us. We're going to talk about how the Spirit makes intercession with us. And then we're going to talk about how His Spirit bears with our spirit. But this morning, I want to talk about a statement made in verse number 14 of the 8th chapter of Romans. It says, "For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." This passage and many others in the Scripture has led men to some very strange understandings concerning leading of the Holy Spirit. People will say that I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm being called by His Spirit. They tell us that they will pray to God and they will wait until the Spirit tells them what direction they should go, what they should do, and how they should proceed. The Bible clearly speaks that the Spirit leads us, and there's no doubt about that. But how does He do it? That's the bigger question. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, and in verse number 1, the text says, "And Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." The same statement is made in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1. Paul and his companions were led by the Spirit on their preaching journeys. We even know from our study this morning that the Holy Spirit forbid them to go to a certain area and directed them to go into Macedonia in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. The Spirit led Peter to the household of Cornelius, where he converted the first Gentile. The Spirit led Philip down to Gaza to talk to the eunuch and convert the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 29. Yes, the Holy Spirit positively, biblically, led these men in doing God's work. But how does the Holy Spirit lead us today? Many believe that it is an irresistible force that goes before us, guiding us along life's path. Some teach that one must have a direct operation of the Holy Spirit in order to be sure and to be absolutely positive that they've been saved. Still others teach that the Holy Spirit miraculously leads one to salvation and sanctification. You see, you can't find the way yourself. You can't find the way to God. You've got to have some help. You've got to have divine intervention. You've got to help God pick you up and lead you to where He wants you to go and place you right in the position where you can gain salvation. That's what they mean by being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one who leads, He guides, and He forbids. man is taken out of the equation. Now, that's what all these traits have in common. If we actually believe in this divine intervention, then we have no say in the matter. Then man is taken out of the equation. His free moral agency is gone. He no longer determines what's right or wrong. He no longer makes a decision in his life, because now he can just let the Holy Spirit make those decisions. And whether they're right or wrong, then the Holy Spirit can answer for them, and you don't have to answer for them. You see, but there are men that claim that they preach, and they don't know what to preach unless the Spirit moves them. I've always been tempted to try this just one time. Just, you know what? You would know when I try it. You'll know. Because you know I'll stutter and I'll stammer around, and I won't make any sense of what I'm saying, and my lesson will have no flow, it won't have any content, because I'm telling you, no man preaches a gospel until he first studies and puts something together. It's not put in my mind miraculously. It's not put on my lips. And any man that says so is a liar. It doesn't happen that way. That's for sure. That is a lie, and the Bible never has promised that and never told us that gospel preachers would preach as they were led by the Holy Spirit in a miraculous way. You know, one would think that the Holy Spirit's a warning signal. You know, here you are going through life, and you're going to go somewhere where you shouldn't go. Well, don't go there. Turn around. Go back. And then what if he leads you in the wrong place? I guess he jumped out somewhere along the line. If you go to some place where you shouldn't go, I guess he got out of there. And then when you come back out of where you shouldn't be, then he comes back into you. Brethren, all of that is just sophistry. It's just foolishness. Because the Spirit doesn't work that way. You see, to stay on the straight and narrow, you've got to follow God's word for yourself. You can't depend on someone else to take the blame and to take the blocks. You've got to do that for yourself. But I want you to listen as I read some passages to you. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. If men hear the apostles, they hear God. If they reject the apostles, they reject God. The Bible goes on to say, for I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they know that they have come from you, and they have known surely that I come forth from you, and that you have believed that you sent me. I have given them your word, John 17, verse number 4, and verse 8, and verse 14. Did you see that? Jesus gave the word. Where did he get it? He got it from the Father. If you reject the word, you reject the Father, and you reject the Son. I do not pray for these alone, but also all those who will believe in me through their word, John 17, 20. How would they be able to have unity? By the acceptance of the word. Who is there? They're the apostles. But you say, we don't have apostles today. We don't have men that directly lead. Yes, we do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, the Apostle Paul wrote, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. The Spirit would lead and feed by the word which was taught. I want you to know today that I'm going to make my case and then I'm going to prove my case. I will affirm that the Holy Spirit leads man set by the word of God and by no other matter in this day. The Holy Spirit does not lead man separate and apart from the word of God. That is the method, that is the means, and that is the only means taught in the Scripture in which the Holy Spirit leads man today. Now, that's a strong affirmation. But now let me prove it. First of all, I think we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not the only part of the Godhead that ever led man. Learning how deity leads us should clear up the confusion in the minds of many of how this is done. Has God always directed man by the same method? And the answer to that's no. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Let me show you that indeed God has not always worked by the same method. But it ends up being the same thing. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the writer says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. You see, there was a time when God spoke directly to the fathers. There was a time when God spoke directly to the prophets. There was a time when Christ spoke to the apostles. There was a time when they were guided by the Holy Spirit. But that is not how God does it today. He does it through his Son. Now, did God ever lead man? Yes. In Genesis chapter 6, I want you to take your Old Testaments and I want you to turn to Genesis 6 for a moment. I want you to look at verse number 13. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 13. It says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this time you shall make it. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width but 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. And you shall make a window in the ark and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. And set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make with it lower, second, and third decks." Well, how did God instruct Noah to build the ark? He told him directly. Here's what you do. You build an ark. You make it three stories. You make it out of gopher wood. And here's the dimensions of it. And this is how you make it. He spoke directly to Noah. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 7 says that Noah, being divinely warned by God of things not yet seen, he spoke directly to Noah. He told Noah what he wanted. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5, the text says that Noah obeyed. How did he lead him? He led him by language. He led him by understanding of language that Noah understood. And it was done in a language that was given orally to Noah himself. We also know that he led Abraham in the same way. Genesis chapter 12, he appears to Abraham. He tells Abraham to get thee out of thy country unto a land that I will show you. And he made him three promises. He promised him a nation. He promised to make his seed through all nations of the earth would be blessed through his seed. And through his seed, Israel would become a mighty nation. He promised that directly to Abraham. He told Abraham to get out. He didn't tell him where he was going. He told him that he would show him where he was going. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and 9 says that Abraham left obeying God. How did he lead Abraham? He led him by instruction of words that he gave to Abraham orally. And you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says that God led Israel out of Egypt. How did he do that? How did God lead them out of Israel? He led them out of Israel by Moses and Aaron. He sent Moses in as his spokesperson and sent Aaron in. And they were sent in there and they brought them out. But if you remember, the prophet says, God brought you out by a mighty hand. God did it, but how did he do it? He did it through Moses and Aaron. But he did it by words that Moses and Aaron were given as instruction, and those words were given to the Jews. But Christ leads us. Turn over to John chapter 1. Look at verse 43. John 1 verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now, how did those men become disciples of Christ? They followed him. They heard him. He was literally there. He literally talked to them. They followed his teaching. Turn over to John chapter 6. Look at verse number 44. John 6 and verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." How is a man taught of God? He has to hear and he has to learn. What does he have to hear and what does he have to learn? He has to hear God, and he does that by hearing his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to follow God, if you want to hear God, you're going to have to go to his word, because that's how God instructs us today. He doesn't do it in a miraculous way. He's not going to whisper in your ear. He's not going to pick you up by the scruff of your neck and make you go here and make you go there. You're going to have to read. You're going to have to understand. And then you're going to have to make a decision whether or not you want to obey. And God has always led man in that matter. God did it in different means. At times he spoke orally. At times he spoke to the fathers. At times he spoke through his son. At times he spoke by directly giving men visions and things of that nature, as we see in Acts 16. But he no longer works by those methods, and for a very good reason. Because the Spirit has done his work. And the Spirit was given the responsibility by God to reveal God's mind to men. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice, not by word with man's wisdom teaching. It's not by man's word, it's by God's word. And God's word was given to man and revealed to man through the work of the Holy Spirit. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, you would not have a clue. You and I would not have a clue in how to obey God, how to please God, how to get to heaven, and what God has in mind for us while we live here. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, we would know none of that. But we know all of that because the Holy Spirit has done his work and revealed to us the Scriptures. In Ephesians the 6th chapter, verse 17, Paul wrote, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, brethren, there is no doubt. Why doesn't God directly lead us? The Bible clearly says God led men in the past. Now, why don't they make the argument today that God leads us? Why does it have to be the Holy Spirit? Why not say God does? The Bible clearly shows that Christ led men. Why doesn't Christ lead us? No, they say no, it doesn't work that way. See, those passages don't apply. But the ones of the Holy Spirit, when he says that the Holy Spirit leads us, then he must lead us in the same way that he led in days gone by. No, he doesn't. Now, how would I prove my case? Now, how would I prove that man is led by the Spirit, by the Word of God, and not by any other method other than God's Word? Well, you know what I think the best way to prove this is to show you that whatever the Spirit does, the Bible does. And I believe I can do that. Let's begin by talking about how is man convicted of sin? Turn over to John 16. Look at verse 8. This is one of the promises about the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 8. Jesus told the disciples, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. How does the Holy Spirit convict men of sin? I got to answer that, go to the Bible. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles, it says in verse 4, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 2, we see that Peter preached a sermon. I want you to look down at verse number 37 of Acts chapter 2. The text says, now when they heard this, what is this? What did they hear? They heard the words that were spoken by Peter. And what did those words do? What did those words do when the sinner that was gathered together on the day of Pentecost? What did it do to him? Look at verse number 37. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What led him to ask that question? The Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit do it? By the words that Peter preached in his sermon. You see that? I don't think that's hard to understand. Did the Spirit lead the eunuch? He sure did. He read from Isaiah 53. And he got to a question. He says, hey, who's this man talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? It says in Acts 8, verse 35, he began at that same scripture and teach to him Jesus. But you know, somewhere in the teaching of Jesus is baptism. I know that because one of the questions the eunuch asked when they came to a certain body of water, see, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? What convicted him that he needed to be baptized? The Holy Spirit did. How did he do it? By the preaching of Philip. You see, they heard words. And you know what? If you read the book of Acts and you look at all 9 conversions in Acts, you know how every one of those men and women were convicted of their sin? By the hearing of the Word of God. Where did that word come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, it does so by the Word of God. Now, what about being born again? Does man have to be born again? Well, Jesus said he does in John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. It says, unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Notice, unless he is born of the water and of the Spirit. How is man born spiritually? Now, my religious friends will say, see, there it is. There's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit baptism. And that's the Holy Spirit directly working on man. No, it's not. No, it's not. The water is that which puts you in contact with the blood, but the Spirit is the information that leads you to the truth that the water is necessary. Now, how do I know that? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Is man born of the Spirit? Is he miraculously led? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 22. Since you have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart. Notice, purified your souls, obeying the truth, that would be enough. But look at verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. You see, men ridicule the concept of the 5-step formula, hearing, believing, repentance, and confession, and baptism. Has anyone ever been converted to God without coming in contact with God's Word? Think about that. Has anyone ever been converted who has not come into contact with God's Word? You ever seen a New Testament church in existence where the Bible has never gone? Think about that for a minute. You ever seen a New Testament church today where the Bible's never been preached? You never have, and you never will. Because you've got to have the seed before you can have a crop. And the seed is the Word of God. That's what must be placed in man's heart. That is how man is born again. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, the seed is the Word of God. And it was pointed out in a class this morning, the soil is dependent upon the recipient and how he receives that Word. But he is born again by that seed. And remember, do you remember a few months ago I talked about a spiritual parallel with a natural law that every seed produces after its own kind? If you plant corn, you get corn. You plant wheat, you get wheat. And you plant the Word of God, you get a Christian. Why? Because that's the seed that must be planted in order for one to be born again. Brethren, the Bible says you must be born of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1 says you're born by the Word. Whatever the Spirit does, the Word does. What about being made alive? In John chapter 6, verse number 63. John 6 and verse 63. It is Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that gives life. But where is the Spirit's life given? It's given in the words that Christ spoke. You see, if one wants to be made alive by the Holy Spirit, he's got to be taught the Word of God. See that? It's not hard to understand. What about being built up? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Excuse me. I learned from my mistakes. Remember last time I put my foot on that shelf, I didn't do that again. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might through his Spirit in the inner man. How is the inner man built up through the Spirit? Turn over to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 32. When Paul left the elders of Ephesus in Miletus, what was the last thing that he told them? Look at verse 32. What did he commend them to? He said, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." How is a man built up? How is he strengthened? He is strengthened by God's word. And Ephesians 3:16 says he's strengthened by the Spirit through the inner man. You see, man's got to receive it. Man's got to accept it. But he's built up through the word. The Bible also says in Luke chapter 8 that the seed is the word of God. How does the devil work takes place? You know how the devil tries to undo the Spirit's work? He tries to take the seed out of your heart. If he takes the seed out of your heart, there's no crop that can be produced. That's the way that he works. How can one learn and be built up in spiritual matters if they absent themselves from feeding times? If you don't study the Word of God, you're going to die. If you don't study God's Word, you're not going to grow. You're not going to mature. You're not going to be all that you can be. You've got to study the Bible. You've got to read it. You've got to apply it. That's how you strengthen. That's how you're built up. The Spirit does that through the work of the Holy Spirit, does that through the work of the Scripture. Well, what about walking in the Spirit? How does one walk in the Spirit? Turn over to Galatians 5, verse 16. Paul says, "And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Well, how does one walk in the Spirit? Turn over to 2 John. 2 John, verse 4. 2 John and verse 4, the Apostle John wrote, "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive the commandment from the Father." I walk in the Spirit when I walk in the truth. When I walk according to God's will, then I am walking in the Spirit. I am walking in truth. Psalms 26 and verse 3 says the same thing. When you partake of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, you are walking by the Spirit. Why? Because Acts 20, verse 7 says, they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. You do that because you're led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit to accomplish that. When you give of your means on the first day of the week, and not on any other day, you do that because you've been led by the Spirit. Because 1 Corinthians 16 says, "As I give an order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." That's what the Spirit told you to do. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. When women remain in their roles and do not take the leadership roles in the church, and they're not elders and they're not preachers, they do so by walking by the Spirit. Why? Because 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 teaches us that their role is not a public role, and they are not to usurp authority over a man. And as long as a woman submits herself to that role, she is walking in the Spirit. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit when you walk in God's Word, when you follow His path, when you follow His direction, when you follow the things that it tells you to do. You can firmly and you can positively say you are walking in the Spirit, and we are commanded to do that. And it's not mysterious and not miraculous. We do that by following God's will. Well, can you resist the Spirit? They did in the days of Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 52, after Stephen gave them a little history lesson, told them they were just like their forefathers, they did resist the Holy Spirit just like their forefathers did. By the way, how did their forefathers do that? How did their forefathers resist the Spirit? They resisted the Spirit when they resisted the prophets that were sent to them. How did they resist them in the days of Stephen? They resisted the preaching that Stephen did. And they took him out and stoned him. That didn't change the truth of what Stephen said. But you know what? If you read Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20 and also verse 30, you will see that there were men in the Old Testament who were able to resist the Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 8, Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these who resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disprove concerning the faith. Yes, you can resist the truth. You can write off everything I'm saying this morning, and you can go right out that door and you can live any way that you want to. You can just take your Bible and you can just put it aside, pick it up next Sunday, never look at it, never study it, never apply it. You have the ability to resist it, and when you do, you resist the Holy Spirit because He's the one that gave it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. Yes, you can resist the Spirit. People say tonight, today, well, if the Holy Spirit comes upon you and it's going to lead you to God, then you can't overcome it. It'll overwhelm you. That's a lie. That's a lie, brother. If you want to resist the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to do so because God made you a free moral agent. If you don't want to follow God, if you want to do things contrary to God's will, that's your choice and you can do it. Nobody's going to make you do what's right. Nobody's going to make you follow God. Nobody's going to make you follow the Spirit. You've got to do that of your own volition. If you don't want to do that, that's your prerogative. But don't say that it can't happen, because the Bible clearly teaches that it can happen. Well, how is one made free? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says he's made free by the Spirit. Well, how does the Spirit do that? What John 8, 32 say? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Spirit makes you free by your obedience to what the Spirit reveals, the truth. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. In such words some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It says you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified. How has a man done that? He does it by the Spirit of God. But a man is washed, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Ephesians 5 and verse 26, it says that you might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. See, you're washed by the Word. And then you're sanctified. What did Jesus himself say in John 17, 17? Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. How's a man justified? Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, if we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith. The Bible says we're justified by the Spirit. We're justified by Christ when we obey the word of God. You see, the Bible gives you the ability to wash you from your sins, to set you apart, and to make you right in the sight of God by your obedience to it. That's the same thing in 1 Corinthians 6 as the Spirit does. But the Bible, the Word of God says the Bible does the same thing. In Revelation 22, we're going to have a lesson on this. This will be the last lesson in the series. But for time's sake, in Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, how does the Spirit invite? How does the Spirit invite man to come? He does that by 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, where the text says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are called by the gospel. There is not any person alive who is under New Christian times, New Testament times, that has been called by any other way but by the Spirit through the preaching of the Word of God. That is how it is accomplished. Now, the Bible says that there were witnesses. In Acts 10, verse 43, Acts 10, verse 43, the text says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him might receive remission of sin. John 6, 45 says that is the teaching of the Word of God, that witnesses. In John chapter 15 and verse number 27, it talks about witnesses. Those same witnesses are taught to be the apostles in Acts 26, verse 22. In Acts chapter 20, verse 23, Paul is called a witness. of the Spirit. He's a witness by the Spirit according to chapter 21, 10 through 13 that we'll look at in a few weeks. He does that by the preaching of the truth. And you see, all these things that I've told you this morning, how does Isaiah witness today? How does Jeremiah witness? How does Daniel witness? We are taught to learn by God by the acceptance of the Holy Spirit and His work, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit witnesses today by the Word of God. If one is truly led by the Spirit, he must be led by the book. Listen, brethren, it's not complicated. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you've got to be led by the teaching of Christ. If you're being led by the Spirit, you've got to be following the Word of God. If you are following the Word of God, then you can firmly say you are being led by the Spirit, because the Spirit is leading you, because you are in obedience to what the Spirit has revealed. There will be no miraculous intervention. There will be no tapping you on the shoulder. There will be no message in your ear. There's not going to be something you're going to come over you and you're going to wallow around like a fish out of water. It's not going to happen. If you want to be led by the Spirit, you're going to have to be a willing participant. And you can only do that by opening the Word of God, because that's where the Spirit works. He works through the Word of God. Now, where does the Spirit lead us? I think that's important. As we bring this lesson to a close, how does the Spirit lead us? I think I've shown you he does that through the Word of God. Now, where does he lead you to? Well, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, he leads you to sonship and out of slavery. He leads you out of the bondage of sin, and he leads you into sonship with the Father in heaven. He leads you to courage and not to fear, according to Romans 8, verse 15. You see, in the world, when you're separated from God, there's fear that you're lost, but there's courage when you come to Christ, because he gives you his assurances. He makes promises. He leads you to an inheritance and not to rejection, according to Romans 8, verse 17. He leads you to glory, according to the same verse, and not to shame. Being separated from God, there is shame. Being with God, there is glory. He also leads us to fruit-bearing and not to follow the works of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. He leads us, the Spirit uses the Word to produce a spiritual harvest. The Word is placed in our heart, and when it produces a crop, it will produce it for the glory and good of God. That's where the Spirit leads us to. Following the Word will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to me very well. You cannot produce a spiritual crop without a knowledge of God's Word. Without knowledge, you will never be fruitful in your work for God. You will never be effective. You will never be what God wants you to be if you do not know the Word, because without knowing the Word, you can't produce a crop. The Spirit leads you to the Word that will help you produce a crop. The Bible says very emphatically in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 7 through 11, the Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God was given by the Holy Spirit. Brethren, the text is too plain to miss it. Because the Bible says that you're led by the Spirit, and because in times past God spoke to the fathers, he spoke to the prophets, he spoke to the apostles, there was divine intervention in the first century, just because all those things happened in the Bible is no guarantee that they will happen to you. We do not live in those times. You do not live under the patriarchal age. You do not live under the Mosaic age. You live under the age of Christ. You live in the Christian age. And in the Christian age, God directs man through the Holy Spirit, and he does it by one method, and one method only. He does it by the Word of God. And if any man will not be led by the Word of God, he cannot be led by the Spirit. Let me say that again. If you will not allow the Word of God to lead you, you cannot be led by the Spirit. It is impossible to do so. Now that goes, I'm going to tell you something, brethren. This goes, what I just told you this morning, goes against 90% of what the religious world at large in Christendom believes. They believe that the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit is a necessity. They believe that he leads in a miraculous way. They believe that he gives latter-day revelation, that he amends and he changes and he revises what he has said in the Bible. Where is the proof? Where is the proof of that? That's an assertion that no one can prove. You know what the Bible tells me? 2 Timothy 3 says he's given all scripture. He's given by inspiration of God. That's all. James 1:25 says it's the perfect law of liberty. 2 Peter 1:3 says it gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If he gives all scripture, if we've been given all things, and it's the perfect law of liberty, what's been left out? Nothing. Yes, there has been. I should rephrase that. There has been something left out. What men want. What men want. That's been left out. So how do we get it in there? Latter-day Revelation. New creed books. New inspired literature. That's how we get it in there. If it's not in there now, we want to put it in there, and that's how we get it in there. But there's only one little problem. One little bitty problem. God's word won't back you up because it teaches just the opposite. And my friend, if you're here this morning, please take your song books and turn to the song that's been selected, 319. If you're here this morning, and you're waiting to be led by the Spirit, you have just been led. And what you do about it, that's up to you. But I'm here to tell you this morning, any man and woman who wants to obey the gospel and wants to be led by the Spirit to do so will never be able to accomplish that desire without opening this book and following what the Spirit has told them to do. What has the Spirit said? The Spirit said in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what the Spirit said. The Spirit says you must believe what you've heard. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to believe Him, to please Him. John 8:24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. That's what the Spirit is leading you to do. He leads you to repent. In Acts 17, that we will talk about Wednesday night, talking to a group of idolaters, Paul said at the time of ignorance, God once winked at, but He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Spirit will lead you to repent, but it won't repent for you. It won't make you repent. Nobody can make you repent. Repentance is a change of heart that results in a change of conduct, and nobody can make you do that. The Spirit can lead you to do that. It does that through the Word, but you're the one that's got to allow that to take place. Then you must confess His name. That's what the eunuch did in Acts 8. If thou believest, thou mayest. In verse 37, the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Spirit led him to make that confession. Because in Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And then you must be baptized. Why? Because the Spirit says a man must be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In like figure 2, where baptism does now also save us, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism, you put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. Baptism is where you contact the blood of Christ, Romans 6:3-4. Baptism is where you're buried with Him into His death, Colossians 2:12. The Spirit tells you all of that. Now, if you're going to be led by the Spirit to obey God, that's what you're going to have to do. And brethren, He's not going to whisper it in your ear, friend. There's not going to be a divine revelation to you. If you want to obey God and be led by the Spirit to obedience, that's what you've got to do. And the Spirit is now leading you to give you that opportunity. If you're here and you are a child of God, and you need to allow the Spirit to bring you back home, He does that also by commending you in His Word that you need to repent, you need to turn from sin, you need to pray and ask God to forgive you, Acts 8:22-24. Now, you've been led by the Spirit this morning, but it's not irresistible. You can turn it off. Like you can turn off that light. It's your choice. You make it as together we stand and sing.